On an iPhone, get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
It's John Potter here, live and local. Okay, let's get to the fun. She was part of a Prairie Home Companion since the age of 13. She played Garrison Keillor's conscience. Had a successful run in last year's America's Got Talent. And she's been on Modern Family, HBO's Veep, Fox's sitcom New Girl. Last year, she was on the Stephen Colbert Show. Hello, Miss Erica Rhodes. There you go. Hello, Miss Erica Rhodes.
Hello. Well, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine, my dear. Okay. Everybody is telling me that you've been here a couple of times before. I said, oh, this might be your first visit to Nevada. And I got like 18 texts telling me all the times you've already been. Any good Nevada memories, Miss Erica?
I mean, I've explored all over Nevada. I like Reno. I like Carson City. That's where I'll be tonight. And I don't know. I think that Reno is like the kind of mini Vegas, where it has everything Vegas has, but, you know, in a cuter way.
Well, of course, you'll be in our capital city, Carson City, for tonight. People are clamoring for your tickets. Craig's been giving a few out today. And, you know, for folks, a lot of people already know about you. But for folks who don't know about you, how would you describe what you do on stage? What kind of stand-up comedy is this, Erica?
Just very, very funny, you know?
Okay. Well, it's apparently it's all really, it's personal.
Pretty personal. Yeah, it's based on my life. And, you know, I have some dating stories. I have some stories just about being, you know, single at my age and, you know, being a woman and things like that. Things that are relatable to most people.
And it's real stuff. You did drop out of college twice. And you did work at a medical marijuana clinic. So
yes, I don't really have any jokes about those, but maybe in my old, I used to talk about that maybe. I don't know what that was from, but so I have an updated version of my life now.
And you definitely talk about the dating, right? What's the dating history?
Yes, I do talk about nightmare dating stories and, that
my
kind of
goodness.
Thing.
What happened to you, Erica?
I don't know. I guess you'd have to ask my parents that.
Well, I mean, with the dating, what experiences? I'm sure a lot of ladies out there can probably relate to this.
I recently dated a guy who was very successful, you know, and I think sometimes that can sound fun to date a successful guy, but then, you know, like a guy who has money, but I found out they don't always give you the money, you know, that's the problem. They just talk about having the money, and you're like, can I have some? And they're like, no, but you can watch me have it. You're like, that's not as fun as sharing.
And you're from Boston. I worked for a couple of years in Boston, worked for WBC radio, and I did a show on their FM. So what can you tell us about your time in Boston?
Well, I grew up in Newton, Massachusetts, which is outside of Boston. And
the fancy, fancy suburb there, Erica. Fancy.
Yes, it was fancy. I wasn't living in a fancy house, though. We had a pretty modest house, but I had fancy. Yeah, my friends all went to, you know, Ivy League schools, but then I dropped out twice. But yeah, I love Boston. I go back there sometimes and perform, and it's a good place to be from.
I can't tell you how many flights I missed relying on that stupid T subway.
Oh, you fell asleep on it?
No, the thing just crawls. I hope. Well, of course, now I haven't been there for 20 years. Maybe they finally got it up to snuff, and maybe now it's acting like a proper subway. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't know either. I haven't been on the subway in a long time.
So you're single?
Yes, I am single.
Happily so?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's better than being in a bad relationship, so that's what I choose. Rather than, you know, so I've just been working on myself, doing a lot of self-help stuff, but sometimes that's hard because I'm self-employed, you know, so sometimes I'm like, I can't come into work today because I'm working on myself, but then I'm like, but I also have to work for myself, so I have to balance those things.
So is it stand-up comedy for you, or is it actress for you? Are there more movie and TV things coming up for you, Erica Rhodes?
Yeah, there's always stuff coming up, but right now I'm focused on stand-up. I want to do a special soon, so that's what I've been focusing on, and I just perform all over the country, so I love it.
I just tried to get on your X here, and it says these posts are protected. Oh my goodness, look at you.
That's not, my posts aren't protected.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, must be the wrong page.
Oh, really? Okay. Let's see here. So give us I can see a video of you. You're talking. Of course, I can't see here. So see if you can paint a picture of an idea of what your stand-up comedy involves. Personal life, do you get very political in your routine?
No, I'm not political at all. I just talk mostly about my life. I feel like a lot of stand-ups have politics covered, so I don't need to go into that too much. But, yeah, I talk about my experience on America's Got Talent a little, and then I talk about more personal stories about dating and, you know, trying to be positive in this world. That's what I'm trying to be.
Well, I see you have a captioned video here where people came up to you after a show in small-town Wisconsin and asked you if you were Republican, and you used that in your stand-up routine. What did you say about that?
I think you'll have to come see the joke because, the joke is about, like, how, you know, I feel like people judge you based on how you look. So people say, oh, you must be, you know, not. I said, well, what makes you think I'm not Republican? You know, like, is it because I look like I'd own 15 cats if I wasn't allergic? Or is it because I look like I might garden with my partner? Or is it because I look like I would never kill someone unless they were growing inside of me?
Okay. Okay. That's going to get a good reaction. I do see a video of Simon Cowell laughing at you.
Yeah.
That's a good.
Wow, it's like you're doing your research in real time.
Yeah, I am. I just decided to pull up your ex and take a look here. Okay, so Erica Rhodes tonight, is there? I know we gave away tickets to the 8 o'clock show. Are you performing at 6 tonight? Craig, is she on at 6 also?
She's on at 6 also, but the tickets I have to give away are for the 8 o'clock.
Okay. All right. Well, I wish you good luck, and this should be a blast. And thank you for the gifting of all these tickets for our loyal listeners to come enjoy a great night at the Carson City Nugget. And folks, you can go to ccnugget.com and purchase those tickets for Erica Rhodes for tonight. And please come back to the area, Erica. Anything else you want to let people know about?
No, just come on out. It will be a really good time. And I don't think you'll regret it if you come.
I gotcha. All right, Erica Rhodes. Love to hear
it. All right.
Thanks. Have a great show.
Thank you.
Okay,
all right,
bye.
All right, so let's finish this off with the ticket giveaway. I have 14 tickets left out of the 40, so I have 7 more texts. First and last name of you, the texter, and Erica's name.
Yes.
Yeah, so Erica's name followed by the texter's first and last name. And
you
I'll
know,
get you on
I,
the list.
She was a, you know, if I were a comedian, I would do exactly what she did on that interview. You don't give away your good stuff with the doofus DJ on the radio. Do it on stage where people can really hear it for the first time and enjoy it. So it wasn't great for me, but it'll be great for the show tonight at the Carson City Nugget. All right. Thanks for your help, Craig. Let's go back to Open Topics, folks, 884-9910, and we take those texts too, and we're going to talk local, usually, and a little national if you bring it up. 884-9910. I'm John Potter, here until noon on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1116.
Fox at the top, Fox at the bottom, live and local right now.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area on one radio station. Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Welcome back. Welcome back, my friends. John Potter here till noon, taking calls in the order they come in. Tim from Carson City, glad you called up. Welcome to 99.1 FM Talk.
Hey, thanks a million, John. Hey, you know, this whole thing with Ukraine, if Zelensky was that desperate for money, what I'd love to know is where all that prior money went, because I've heard reports of various Ukrainian top flight people in Europe spending a lot of money out of nowhere on real estate and luxury homes. And I'd love to see Trump make contingent any further monies based on the Doge boys running through some of the Ukrainian computer systems to track down where that money has been spent, because I bet a lot of it's been kicked back to either our politicians or their politicians and has been lost track of.
Yeah. You know, weren't we giving them, the populace, some monthly stipend for a while?
That's right.
When I think, though, of how much money, and you know what, Tim, I used to go on Google and ask how much money has the U.S. put into this war for Ukraine. And every time I checked, it got to be such a big number, I stopped checking because it was making me sick. The figure I heard lately was $335 billion. And just let your mind run wild of what that money could have done in this country. We voted for America First. And what causes inflation? It's printing money in this country causes inflation, and it ends up hurting all of us. All of us. But as for where the money went to, I don't know. We don't know. I don't think we've even had an honest federal audit done of the money spent in Ukraine. And stop thinking that I'm pro-Russia. I could care less about Russia. But I'm talking about this country and how it's negatively affecting with people in the streets and with schools not being able to afford this and that and our infrastructure falling apart. I'm looking at this country and what is best for this country. Anything
I mean,
else,
that's Tim? That's where the whole Burisma stuff came for Hunter Biden, too, and 10% for the big guy. You know,
there's
huge corruption. And I think if you have the Doge guys go in there and even do it remotely so they don't have to be physically threatened, and just start to pull back the veil where that some of that money is. Boy, I'll tell you what, I think there'd be a change in tune quick.
All right. Well, have a wonderful weekend. It's a pretty serious topic, but it has to be said, and I do appreciate you calling in there, Tim. Thank you so much. Folks, the phone number, 884-9910. We had, what do we have locally? We had something, I don't know if you folks saw the viral video, Craig, I don't know if you saw the viral video of the Reno CEO, female Reno CEO confronting the supposed illegal outside McDonald's. You know what I'm talking about there?
I did not see that.
Okay. I wonder how many people did see this. Let me see. I'm just taking a look at my messy notes. It was a viral thing where this Reno CEO lady is on camera. She's asking a young woman if she's an illegal at a McDonald's pickup parking area somewhere in Reno. And the video has had millions of views on TikTok before they took it down for harassment. TikTok actually cares about that? It's news to me. And then it was reposted and got 3 million more. News 4 ran the story. News 4 reports, quote, Cheryl Vaughk, CEO of Productive Solutions, is heard questioning Chavez's immigration status, asking, are you illegal? Well, folks, if you saw the video, it was more like, are you illegal? And the young woman responded, that is none of your business and none of your concern, to which Vaughk replied, yeah, it is, because I pay taxes here. And this week, and this always happens, you know, when something goes viral, then the apologies come out. This week, Vaughk replied, she issued a statement apologizing for her behavior. Chavez has filed a police report with Reno police and is awaiting further action. And I read the story, and my reaction is, is she legal or not? I mean, I say this because, you know, this is a 9-paragraph in-depth story, and yeah, I get it. That doesn't give you the right to ask every person their immigration status, and really, it would be rude to ask her and put it in the report. You know, I would not put that in the story, which is really about how yet another not best moment from somebody went viral for angrily asking if she's illegal. Of course not, but is she? I'm sorry. I think people reading it wonder if she is or not. And no, she doesn't have to answer that. And also, I don't, why has she filed the police report? I don't think there's anything they can do about it. The lady was simply expressing her opinion, and she has a right to ask her, you know, questions, and everybody has the right not to answer. You know, well, everybody thinks this might be just a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. She has every right to ask her status. Offensive? Yeah, perhaps. But no one has a right not to be offended. One of the comments on the News 4 website reads, no one not in authority has the right to ask a person their immigration status. You may never have a victim of, you've never been a victim of racial profiling, but how would you feel if somebody asked you if you have the right to be here? Currently, people are being treated as if they don't have the right to exist. No one should feel harassed and threatened, including biased, angry people like Ms. Vaughk. Overall, I guess my take is, well, golly, somebody's mad. Let's exploit it and put it right, local news. Let's play it up. Because it's not really a story. It's just an outburst in public. I would suggest to Ms. Vaughk and anybody else who encounters somebody who wants to be a viral TikTok hero, when they pull the camera out, when they pull the smartphone out and they point it at you, stop talking. No, really, really, stop talking. Make a funny face. Because that will not go viral on TikTok. TikTok. this whole thing does remind me of when my former bosses at Channel 2 asked, more like demanded, to know what my vaccination status was during COVID, and they did it like everything they did in the Ms. Vaughk way. That was their approach. Okay. So I thought I'd bring that up from the phone calls. It looks like nobody knows what I'm talking about. Okay. Well, yeah, let's let that story die. Like I said, I don't know how it became a story. It's just somebody having an outburst in public. I have 1.5 hour to go. Just a 1/2 hour. Thank goodness, folks. Then we get to some real intelligence here. 884-9910, and we'll be back after Fox News. Do appreciate you tuning in on Saturdays, 9 to noon, on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time, 1129.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
Government is bad and government is evil.
99.1
and 92.3
FM Talk, KKFT.
News, talk, truth.
John Potter, live and local as always. I'll be grateful to take your call. I hope whoever you are, you'll feel invited and empowered. Let's go to the phones. Bill in Reno, welcome to the show. I'm glad you called. Welcome to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, sir.
Yeah, John, that's you? Hello, John.
Yes. Yes, I'm here, Bill. I'm here.
Oh, okay. This is Bill from Reno. You know, I'm thinking about the way that the everybody was talking to each other in the White House over this deal, you know, for the rare earths and all that. And I was dismayed because Trump is in there kind of acting brutish and all that. I mean, you can say what you want, but he should have just let Rubio handle all of the goings on. Rubio's a smart guy and could have done it without having Trump out front looking like some, you know, Attila the Hun. You know what I mean?
Well, no, if you watch from the beginning, Trump doesn't start out that way. I definitely was not planned by him. Some reporter asked a question. Vance said something. The whole discussion could have ended with just Zelensky showing a bit of gratitude. That's it. Not arguing with him. And for some foreign leader to come to the Oval Office knowing that our news media is there with cameras and to incite this argument, which seemed to go on forever. Listen, like I said before, I don't care what other countries think of us or anything like that. He's in that office there, the president, to look out for number one, and that's America. And that's all we should be concerned about is that we get something for the hundreds of billions of dollars that we have sent into this country, which looks like money wasted because it looks from all accounts that this war is not going there. How did people think in the beginning that little Ukraine, and sure, this may be wrong, but could take on a huge power like that and us fund it like it's just the worst possible investment I could think of? You know, it's a terrible thing. And I think that through negotiation and real talk and approaching Putin, I don't trust Putin at all, but there's got to be a way. There's got to be a way.
The whole thing was doomed to failure. I mean, you knew that, but my thing is, we all knew that, everybody knew that, but my thing is that I think Trump needs to stand back from things and you know, not go in like he's, you know.
All right, well.
A real estate deal in New York, you know.
I'm not that concerned with how he behaves. I'm concerned with what he gets done is basically it. Okay, if that's the way, you got to be a tough guy to be president. You know, up to now, other countries have been really taking advantage of us, and I'm glad we have a strong person in the White House to put a stop to it. His behavior,
I am too.
I don't care what other people think of his behavior. I just there are more important things.
He could leave a little more on the table for somebody else to do, and Rubio's the man.
Okay.
You know?
Hope to see that in the future. I appreciate your call, Bill.
All right.
I really do.
Bye.
Thank you. Donald Trump is going to make, did you hear? Donald Trump is going to make English the official language via executive order. Here's the deal on that. If you come to America, speak English. I believe that's a good custom, but it's a bad law. I think ultimately that the courts are going to hold that there's a reason we've never had an official language, and that's because we have a First Amendment. If we have free speech, that, of course, you know where I'm getting at. That, of course, is regardless of language. If speech is free, if I can say anything I want, then quite obviously I can say it in any language I want. So that law would not work in this country. It's a nice thing to do. If you come here, speak English, that's a good social custom, and you yourself will get further ahead career-wise in the U.S. if you do learn and speak English, and that is something that we should encourage. But I don't think it's something that we should mandate by law. We have enough laws already. You know, just don't, no more. Okay, so did you hear Lester Holt is leaving as anchor of NBC, the Evening Network News? He's going to stay with 2020, is it, or whatever it is. I apologize. I don't watch those shows. I don't really need to have murders from a long time ago rehashed. It doesn't do anything for me. But Lester Holt has always struck me as a gentleman, and I really like the sense of grace and poise that he brings to the anchor job there. But network news is a very weak product with a lot of prescription ads, and it's very unpopular, and it has a marginal and very insignificant audience these days. I think that the natural replacement for Lester Holt is Tom Yamas. That's who I think should take over. Tom Yamas, he's young. He's kind of NBC's answer to David Muir, only Yamas is, I think, more relatable. He talks pretty much the same way as David Muir, but he's not a robot like David Muir. He's more personable, more relatable, and more of a real guy. And he does an awfully good job, and I'd like to see Tom Yamas get the big desk. Reno Gazette Journal today. I don't really talk much about that paper. It's, of course, not what it used to be. I think everyone would agree with that. They have a story this morning. I'll read it to you. It's kind of dumb. A bill introduced in the California State Assembly seeks to designate Bigfoot as the state's official cryptid. A cryptid is an animal that some people believe exists, but has never been scientifically proven, like the Loch Ness Monster. Assemblyman Chris Rogers, Democrat from Santa Rosa, introduced the bill. Folks, this is all real. His district, including Willow Creek, California, has been a focal point for reported sightings and roadside attractions dedicated to the legend Bigfoot. His bill would make Bigfoot the state's official cryptid. He said, "The joke would be that when we amend the bill, the Bigfoot bill would disappear. It would be elusive. It would go away, just like Bigfoot is known to do." Get it? Don't they have more important things to do in the California state legislature? I think that they must, right? Or also, doesn't the RGJ have more important things to write about? And I got this long email about federal employees. Haven't even ever mentioned this whole thing with Elon Musk and federal employees, and send me the email about the five things you did. And if I don't get a call, I'll read this person's email, which is very good, actually. Next, we're going to take a break right now, though. I'm out of coffee. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1 to 92.3 FM Talk. Our phone number, 884-9910. FM News Talk time, 1143.
The easiest way to remember us is just 99.1.
And 92.3.
FM Talk.
John Potter here. Welcome back. Welcome back, my friends. Let's get through these texts. Okay, let's see here. About the Bigfoot story. John, How is the state of Washington going to feel about California claiming Bigfoot as their cryptid? The only proven Bigfoot sighting was Harry and the Hendersons, and that took place in Seattle. Thank you. Okay. John, it is, okay, this is about the Trump proposal to make English the national language. John, it's Johnny, actually. This person calls me Johnny. It's not a law. It's an executive national order. English is the U.S. Americana language. Okay, why bother then if it's not a law? I had a bunch of, I hate the way, every time Yahoo Mail brings out this new format or so-called, quote, improves, unquote, their Yahoo Mail, it makes it worse and worse, and it's a struggle just to find emails right now. God darn Yahoo, just go back to the old original way. A lot of texts I didn't even see before about the cats in the vet telling me to buy this expensive cat food. Bought a big bag. All three will not touch it. They'll go 3 days and not touch it. They won't eat it. The vet said this, don't feed them the Meow Mix anymore because it's like, of course they like it. It's like McDonald's to them. Okay, John, my vet recommended a special diet for my cat. And from what she said is for the first night, you take away a quarter cup of the food, then you mix in a little by little the new food. And that is along the lines of what somebody else texted in about the same subject. Okay, here it is. You have to put a little amount of new cat food with regular food, then incrementally increase the amount. Your problem-solving buddy, oh, Davron, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Says Purina has high-grade products, and you can order raw, covered kibble. Sometimes doctors are nutritional idiots. Okay, you know more than me. Let's go to the phone. Arthur calling from Reno. Arthur, I'm glad you called. Good morning, Arthur.
Hey, John, how you doing? Hey, you know, you and I have a lot in common. We're both the same age, we're both Geminis, and our birthdays are only about 2 weeks apart. So, but anyway, I wanted to just kind of throw a little fuel on the fire here about Zelensky. You know, he's been handed an awful lot of money without any transparency or accountability as to where all that money went. And there was a rumor floating around a while back about his mother has a house in Florida. Now, again, I don't know if this is just a rumor or if she really does own this house. And if so, if she does own it, where did the money come from to buy this house or build this house? You know, where did it,
all right,
how did she get it?
Do you have anything else there, Arthur?
No, I don't. And just I think Don and JD really inherited a big problem here, and I think that he will get it straightened out. I have a lot of confidence in them, and
oh, I do too.
It does get straightened out. So, okay.
I do too. It's well said, Arthur. I appreciate your call, my friend.
All right, thank you, bud. Take care.
Okay, you too. Once again, I promised I would mention this. The Douglas County Historical Society is hosting the Boy and Girl Scouts Family Day today at the Carson Valley Museum. It started at 11. It goes until 3, and you are welcome. The Scouts are showing off their Lego racetrack, and the Girl Scouts selling their cookies. Oh, my God, the cookies. Let me get to this email, too, about the federal employees, because the story will get old in a week. I do save stuff for the next week, but this is more current. John Potter, as a federal government employee that removes bad employees, I can honestly say the way this is being done is totally wrong. He's talking about Elon here. I voted for Trump 3 times. I believe in a smaller federal workforce. I enjoy going to the office. I retired as an Army officer after 27 years of service. Oh, thank you, sir. I've worked hundreds of hours without comp time or overtime for the love of the flag. I've removed myself from several federal social sites because I didn't like the rhetoric and false information being spread. I work my ass off for the taxpayers. My concern is strategic. Musk is single-handedly alienating federal employees that support Republican views. Many have mentioned they will vote Democrat in midterm elections, and this was prior to this email that went out last week. For 3 weeks, we have been given memorandums and executive orders that have a lot to say but have zero guidance. When we ask for clarification, we get crickets, forcing the agencies to try to figure this out on their own without further insulting their employees. I'm all for exposing the money laundering and digging for lost money. I'm even for easing the rules to remove bad employees, but to threaten and alienate the 98% of the good employees, yes, that number is pretty accurate, it's not productive for anyone. What happens if nobody replied by midnight? Is everybody released? Who will work for the American people at that point? The National Guard? There is strength in numbers. Also, some agencies, such as the FBI and State Department, have already told their employees not to respond. They will deal with it personally because they know these threatening tweets have zero consequences. The U.S. Office of Personnel Management has no authority to remove employees other than their own anyway. Why continue to scare faithful employees? And that is signed Al. Thank you very much for the time you spent writing that, Al. Point well taken. And, Elon could have certainly done the email in a nicer way. I appreciate your side of things and your service. I will say, and I'm not countering or arguing with your point of view, but I will say this outrage over the DOGE requirement that federal employees make this weekly accounting of their productivity, it's kind of puzzling to those of us in the private sector. I think that the very large majority of workers in our society are held to accounts on their productivity and what we have accomplished. And most of us on our jobs, we've dealt with performance metrics all our working lives, right, folks? Like, this is how many sales calls you're supposed to make, and this is how many dollars of revenue you're supposed to bring in, or this is how many pieces you're supposed to produce per hour. Ask your doctors. This is how many patients you're to see in a day. Everybody's performance is measured. That's what companies do. And why government workers should be any different, I don't get. And typically the way it works in the private sector is the employer hires somebody, usually an outside consultant like Musk apparently is, to do an overlook of the jobs being done and the people doing them and where the cuts could be made and how to save money. And they said emails like Musk did to federal employees, and I think about half took it the right way. Some government department heads, you know, they have the right attitude and said, yeah, let's embrace this. We've got a good story to tell. And it's odd that the government agencies and employees who are against all this, at the same time, their argument is, we're very valued employees. We help a lot of people. If you let us go, people are going to suffer. Well, if that's the case, if that's important, that's great. And now you have a chance to show that in your email and tell your story. You know, to start the week, you and I on our jobs, we might do well to sit down on our own and write. What five things did I accomplish last week? And how about goal setting? You can write five things I'd like to accomplish this week. And those can be useful tools for personal growth development, and that's true in our jobs. It's true in our families. It's true with our physical fitness and our spiritual life. At my last talk station before this one, us news people had to write a weekly email to the news director about the contacts we made, what ideas we came up with, and basically what we did that week. Remember that, Samantha? If you're listening, remember we had to do that? And we also had to meet in the conference room, and we'd go round robin doing the same thing. It's performance accountability, and it's good. But Elon's emails, he could have done it nicer. And I know Elon Musk is ticking off a lot of people right now, but asking people to demonstrate the value they bring to their job, it is not a bad thing. And hopefully, if you're managing your career wisely, it is maximizing what you bring to the table so that you increase your value to your employer so that you increase the likelihood that your employer is going to retain you, and when it's raise time, then you can negotiate for a larger raise. That's how it works. I think that's just common sense, and I think that almost everybody at every job does that. And instead of being ticked off at Elon Musk, maybe take it as a challenge to show your worth and increase your worth. Nobody is going to do it for you. And there's no lifetime guarantee with jobs in the real world. Layoffs with no notice. Hello, Channel 2. Working in person and not from home. Welcome to the real world. It's not just collecting a check. And I will add, the many fine people who work for the government that do their jobs have zero issue with emails from Elon. The government workers I know are perfectly fine with an audit. They can easily justify their duties, and they're eager to see the fellow employees who don't put in the work to be held accountable. Yes, it's called accountability. Do the work you're getting paid to do. Oh, there's the music. And you will have nothing to worry about if you just do it and try to do it better. Enough of me. I'll shut up now. I'm going home. I'll be here next Saturday, 9 to noon. I'm John Potter on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Thank you, Craig, and I'll talk to you with the weather and the traffic and the news Monday morning. Bye-bye.